Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Millions of people are already being hit by a huge winter storm, which has been whistling through the Midwest, leaving heavy snow and high winds. Blizzard conditions forced at least 750 flights to cancel out of O'Hare Airport today. CBS's Vicki Barker is trying to get back to London. She is stuck at Dulles in Washington.
People seem to have settled in for a good long wait. Those flights that are going out are tending to be pretty delayed. People who found that their flights have been delayed or canceled are desperately trying to get on the next thing heading in the right direction, but then so is everybody else.
And with the system moving east, promising mayhem from Philly to Boston, United Airlines spokeswoman Megan McCarthy.
For tomorrow, we know in Chicago we do have some cancellations. We ask customers to check United.com before they leave for the airport.
Good advice all over. Debate kicked off in the House today on the resolution opposing President Bush's war policy in Iraq.
I am opposed to a troop surge that doubles down on a bad military bet that has been tried already.
You cannot claim to support our troops without supporting their mission.
An agreement to eventually get North Korea out of the nuke business is being called an important first step.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House. In the president's view, the agreement shows he was right to stick with the six-party talks with North Korea, but officials admit it's only the first step to getting North Korea to abandon its nuclear program and eventually dismantle the six or so nuclear weapons it is believed to have produced.
This just in from Topeka, Kansas, the Kansas Board of Education state level has approved new evolution-friendly science standards, which replaces the anti-evolution guidelines that were adopted in 2005. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney is officially in the race.
I declare my intention to run for President of the United States.
Romney launched his campaign at the Henry Ford Museum, and some, like Ira Forman at the National Jewish Democratic Council, find fault with that choice.
Though Henry Ford was a great industrial innovator, he was also probably the most prominent anti-Semite in American history.
Barack Obama has apologized again for saying the war in Iraq has wasted the lives of those who fought and died there. He says it's been a waste of money. Now, Lynn Sweet, columnist at the Chicago Sun-Times.
I think this is the kind of media scrutiny that Obama has not had before, where everyone seizes on every word in a big league campaign.
They were having sex like wild animals. The Lowry Park Zoo in Tampa calls it the Wild at Heart Tour. How it's more than a pig's tail that's corkscrewy, how manatees have actual orgies, how timing and care really are everything for the porcupine. They only have a four-hour window per year for procreation, and of course they are porcupines. On Wall Street, the Dow up 102 points today. The Nasdaq gained 9.5. This is CBS News.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas, you can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directed.
A former CIA contractor has been sentenced to prison for the beating of an Afghan prisoner who later died. CBS's Jim Crisula.
David Pissarro is headed to prison for more than 8 years. The former Army Special Forces soldier was convicted of beating an Afghan detainee who later died. The 40-year-old Pissarro was working as a CIA contractor at the time. He's the only American civilian charged with mistreating a prisoner in either Iraq or Afghanistan.
Several police officers in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, were doing pretty much what they wanted on the job, evidently, stopping people, searching cars without making a report about it, watching movies at one officer's home while on duty. They played a little touch football one night by the light of a cruiser and, of course, caught Z's whenever they could. Five officers have either quit or been fired in a scandal there. They were done in, evidently, by a rookie who was asked to rate his training. And he did, and told the truth. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
We wanted to move in 90 days, and that was our goal.
Selling a home can be a challenge.
I've been through this type of market before. I'm going to be there every step of the way to guide them through it.
Realtors I work with know the markets that they're in.
They know how to market it. They know how to sell it.
Interest rates are at historic lows, which means more buyers are in the market for a home like yours. Every market's different. Call a realtor today.
The market is always changing, and I'll always be ready for it.
Only realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
Peter B. Collins!
It's the show they named after your humble host, the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome! We've only got 3 hours to take on the thorniest issues of the day. But we'll do our best, as usual, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and originating from the left coast. We're going to get some fascinating views. A presidential candidate of the Democratic side will be with us first today. Then we're going to go to London and talk to Milan Rai of Justice Not Vengeance. They've published a 12-page report that takes apart the news conference, a bizarre one at that, that occurred in Baghdad on Sunday, blaming Iran for explosive devices in Iraq. And next hour, Ray McGovern, who served with distinction 27 years in the Central Intelligence Agency and has been outspoken in his criticism of the Bush administration. He will return to talk about two fronts, the contentious situation with Iran and the potential damage to Israel if the U.S. and or Israel attack Iran. Melanie Sloan will join us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They've just published a lengthy list of 25 most corrupt officials of the Bush administration. Ordinarily, Melanie spends about 10 minutes a week with us. So we're going to double up this week, see if we can cover all 25 of those creeps. I was choosing my words carefully there. Then, per usual, we throw it open in the final hour in the free speech zone, wide open for your calls and comments on any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. Come around, up to no good. Broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood. Got us in a world of trouble.
Oh, and there could be more.
In a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Well, regime change in Washington, long overdue. But unless there's a coup or some other further power grab, we can hope for a seamless transition in January of 2009. Here he is, the first man to declare his intention to be the Democratic nominee for president in 2008, former Senator from Alaska, Democrat Mike Gravel. Welcome back to our program, Senator.
Peter, thank you for having me.
Well, tell me how it's going there. Well, first of all, I got to ask you a couple of really tough questions. Can you exclude yourself from the paternity pool of Anna Nicole Smith's baby?
Would you believe that I didn't know who she was until my wife brought it to my attention?
Lucky you.
I can exclude myself, but I can see the motivation of those who want to be included.
Uh-huh. Well, would you like to be Zsa Zsa's ninth husband?
No, I met her a long time ago, and I thought she was a little elderly at the time.
All right, and can we exclude you from the NASA Love Triangle story?
Oh, yeah, for sure you can exclude me from that. That's a very unfortunate situation.
And I won't ask you any personal questions about adult diapers, okay? I'm just going to leave that behind.
I think she probably needs more psychiatric help than prison, for sure,
yeah,
to what's involved.
Well, I mentioned...
It's really strung out.
Senator, I mentioned those two stories because the media has used them to entertain some people and distract most people from the critical issues confronting America. And to your credit, you got into this race early on a number of fronts. One is that you really want to bring a new level of democracy to participation in the United States through the national initiative process. And you also have been quite outspoken and left some of your fellow Democratic seekers of the presidency in the dust just by very clear talk about critical issues. And I thank you for that.
Peter, I really laid it out 2 weeks ago before the DNC, and there's no question. I say this with some anguish in my voice because, there is forgiveness. But I don't think that anybody who voted for the resolution to go to war, giving Bush the power to go to war, and they knew it was going to war, and they, regardless of what they say today, that anybody who voted for that is not qualified to occupy the office of President of the United States. Now, they can say they're sorry, and that's fine. We can forgive them for that. But now when you stop and think that in 2000, on October 11, 2002, there were millions of Americans who did not buy into the garbage that George Bush was selling and buy into the fact that Saddam Hussein was an immediate threat. And that's all the argument they were making, was an immediate threat to American citizens here at home. And now, if millions of Americans could make that judgment that that was a phony argument, why is it that the majority of the Congress voted to give Bush the power to go to war?
Well, Senator, I can still hear the comments of Senator Clinton in the Senate debate about that resolution in October 2002, and she strained credulity and tortured logic, in my view, by saying that she was voting to authorize the president to use military force because she thought it was the best bet to avoid just that. And, I can understand coming out of the White House after 8 years, she has a sense of presidential power, and as a senator, she, didn't want to be one to deny that power to a president, and also with her own aspirations, she probably was looking forward and saying that if I want to take some military initiative, I want backing from the Congress. But she can't have it all those ways, can she?
Not at all, and it's really unfortunate. Because when you look at it, what she's saying is that she did not have the same level of discernment as tens of millions of Americans as to what the threat and what the problem was. So you can't play a game with this. We're talking about substantial human life. We're talking about giving George Bush the opportunity to destabilize, possibly for a generation, the entire Middle East. And so, if you're a senator, we assume a level of sophistication. And in her case, we assume even more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been at a level of power and understands how the world functions. And that is, and making a decision at that point that brings about extreme loss of life is not acceptable. Just not acceptable.
Well, Senator, I want to ask you to take us back to 1971 when you led a five-month filibuster that was largely a solo act. And I think of you as the Russ Feingold of that time. He is the senator with the most clarity on the issues of presidential power, senatorial discretion, and the need to cut off the funding for the war in Iraq as the only way to bring this administration in line. Tell us what you would do if you were in the Senate today as these various non-binding resolutions, which, I don't object to this as a preliminary process, but I don't expect it to ever gain any traction particularly with this administration. What would you do if you were in the Senate today?
Well, first off, Peter, I'm not as kind as you. I don't take this as a preliminary process. I think these non-binding resolutions are mealy-mouthed, wimpy things that do not advance the thing. Now, what I would do, first off, let me say, the only time that I ever envied and said I wish I were in the Senate on this occasion was on the 11th of October, 2002. Mm-hmm. I would have just loved to have filibustered that resolution and embarrassed the hell out of everybody in trying to vote for it, and could probably have stopped it had another senator or so. But that's the only time that I ever said, boy, I wish I were back there, because I don't wish I was back there. Now, what would I do now? Here, it is very clear what needs to be done. There needs to be a constitutional confrontation with George Bush. And here's how you bring it about, in detail. You introduce legislation by law, no resolution, by law, to end the war, period. And you end it as soon as is practicable, which would mean 30 days. They give some time for organization mm-hmm. to do it in an orderly fashion, okay? Now, this would be introduced in the House and in the Senate. Now, in the Senate, we know it will be filibustered by these Republicans. But I got to tell you, let them go do it, because they're going to wither on the vine. Now, the House can pass this. They've got the votes to pass this law. Goes to the Senate. The Republicans wither on the vine, and the people of the United States see exactly what's going on. There's no fun and games. You either got your 60 votes or you don't. I would predict they'll get the 60 votes, that these people will cave in. Now, what happens after that is the law goes to George Bush. Now, George Bush will veto it. Now, that means that the law has to go back to the Congress mm-hmm. and to the House and the Senate. And now, the House will have to muster two-thirds, and the Senate will have to muster two-thirds, not the 60 votes to overcome filibuster.
67.
Now, if they cannot overcome the Bush veto, then the American people will clearly see what is going on, that this is an administration that is run amok and is really off their training wheels. And so now it will be a constitutional crisis that the courts will not be able to get involved with. It will be between the American people, the Congress, and the presidency. And that's what we need to have happen if we're to avoid this war continuing. And for candidates who say, oh, well, you know, and you know who I'm talking about, oh, I'm against the war, it's a terrible situation, but let's wait 6 months, let's wait 9 months before we get out. If we're going to get out, let's get out, because this oil war that was started by George Bush is not worth one more American life or one more Iraqi life at our hands.
Senator, very well said. Thank you for your courage and your conviction. We're going to take a break and return. A couple of callers want to talk with you. If you'd like to speak with Senator Mike Gravel, Democratic candidate for president next year, get on the line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through. Visit the website gravel08.us. It's G-R-A-V-E-L, gravel08.us. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
We're talking to presidential candidate Mike Gravel, former Democratic senator from the great state of Alaska.
Truth is, I thought it mattered. I thought that music mattered. But does it bollocks? Not compared to how people matter.
You can't keep Mike Gravel down, as I referenced in the first segment. In 1971, he started reading the Pentagon Papers on the floor of the United States Senate as part of his filibuster, even before the New York Times had published him. Is that correct, Mike?
No, not entirely. You want me to take the moment and describe it?
Yeah, please do.
Okay, what happened was that Ellsberg tried to get other senators to use the documents. And he hit McGovern, and he wouldn't touch him, and nor would Fulbright. And Pete McCloskey had him, but he put him in a safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the course of my filibuster, which started in May, having no success with any member of Congress, went over to the media and that the New York Times gave them copies of it in the Washington Post. What they did is they turned around and took excerpts from it and published those. And then the Nixon White House Justice Department filed an action of prior restraint. So, and that put him at risk. So they stopped publishing. So Ellsberg was sort of up the creek. So what he did is he rummaged around, and here I was, a lowly freshman, in the process of filibustering the draft, and he called on the phone and said, would you use the filibuster in your, would you use the Pentagon Papers in your filibuster? And mm-hmm. I said, yes. And so they eventually got me, and got the papers to me, which was an interesting story in itself. And then I went to the floor. I prepared to go to the floor after I had gone through the papers with staff. Having an intelligence background, I did not want to release any names to endanger anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we went through the whole set of papers, 4,000-plus pages. And then I went to the floor, and then I was thwarted in my ability to get to the floor because here again, a courtesy that I extended, and it turned around and bit me on the nose. And then, I had these young attorneys, and so we used my lofty position as a freshman as the chairman of Buildings and Grounds. And that's the committee that I turned around and had a hearing using the precedent of the House Un-American Activities process and held a hearing at the drop of a hat and put this into the record of the hearings. And in the process, then the rest is history.
Yeah. Well, Senator, I'm going to see Pete McCloskey on Friday, so I'll remind him of that era.
You give him my regards.
I sure will. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air with Senator Gravel.
Peter B., thank you so much for having such a quality guest again on here. And, Senator, I do think the world of you. And another gentleman is Dennis Kucinich, and I really feel that this country is going to be turned around and saved. It's going to take people of your character, your insight, and your courage. But the establishment media treat you both like you really don't exist. You're just not enough establishment. So I'm hoping, I'm just fearing maybe they're going to try to exclude you from the debates. Most people don't know you exist, and I'm sure you're aware of that.
How well I am. But that would change. You know, there's a lot of front-loaded debates coming up. At the DNC, I was very tough on the others, and without naming names. And we've got a debate coming up in Las Vegas next Wednesday, and I'm going to be very, very tough on them. Now, what happens in these debates is the front runners really don't want a debate, but they want a beauty contest. And so they negotiated this thing down in Las Vegas, in Carson City, rather. But that's not going to wash all that long because, you see, they want to avoid head-to-head. That's when I can ask a question of Hillary about her vote. That's when I can ask Obama why he wants to wait until next March before he pulls these troops out. And so you can get aggressive, and that's what people want. People want to see the candidates head-to-head other than the media putting these puff questions up and sort of letting the candidates obfuscate and dance around. I mean, because in head-to-head, if they don't answer the question, you come back and say, "Oh, hey, with all due respect, that's not an answer."
Mm-hmm.
And hit them again until they give you an answer, and that's what they don't want to do. They don't want to be held accountable, and the people would love to see these kind of debates.
Dave, you got 10 seconds. Mention the machines.
Okay, well, yeah, be aware of the voting machines. But the trick for you, sir, is having those cameras rolling while you're doing this, and the reporters taking notes that you do exist. That's what needs to happen.
Dave, thanks for your call today. Senator, thank you, and we'll be in touch. I want to keep tabs on you as the campaign unfolds here, and there's certainly a lot more to talk about.
Before I leave, be sure to send me a CD of your entire program, because I can't wait to hear from that person in London about how they're cooking the books on intelligence right now.
We'll do it, Senator. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mike Gravel, candidate for Democratic nomination for president. Next, we go to London to get the lowdown on that. Well, we'll tell you next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show live from San Francisco. It's 33 minutes past the hour. You're welcome to join the conversation whenever the urge strikes you. You just call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 388-573-8372. You can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Now, it's sad to say, since the Bush administration took power, when you want incisive commentary about moves of this administration, you can't get it from American sources and, in particular, the corporate media in this country. So to get some analysis on the bizarre news conference staged in Baghdad this past Sunday, during which anonymous American officials alleged that Iran is directly responsible for certain types of munitions that have been found in Iraq. And they fall under the category of, I have to get my acronym down here, EFPs, which are explosively formed penetrators. And at this news conference, they presented what they claimed was evidence that Iran is directly supplying insurgents in Iraq with these types of munitions. Joining us is Milan Rai from Justice Not Vengeance, based in the UK. Their website is www, and you do need to put the W's in, at least I did in my browser, www.j-n-v.org. That's Justice Not Vengeance. Milan Rai, welcome to our program today.
Thank you very much.
Thanks and thank you me. Thank you for staying up late. It's half midnight or half one in London, isn't it?
I think it's half 11 at the moment, but yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate you working after hours to help us update us. And give us a quick sense of what the focus is of Justice Not Vengeance.
Justice Not Vengeance, our tagline is resisting war and terror, and we produce briefings, and we engage in protests, and we even engage in civil disobedience against the British government's involvement in the war on terror.
Mm-hmm. How are you received in the UK? Are you in generally perceived as in the mainstream?
Well, our most high-profile activities in the last year or so have been to do with resisting encroachments on the right to protest around Parliament. And on that score, we've had a tremendous amount of support from across the political spectrum, because a lot of people are concerned about the way in which the government is restricting all kinds of freedoms. And even very right-wing people have concerns about that. And therefore, yes, we have been feeling very much in the mainstream on that score.
Mm-hmm. And just tell us a little bit about your own background, please. I haven't had an investigator check you out. I'm just curious.
I'm a writer. I've written several books, including a book called Chomsky's Politics, and most recent book was 7/7, The London Bombings, Islam and the Iraq War. I've been an activist and a writer for the last 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to become the co-editor of a London-based newspaper called Peace News.
Oh, really? Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
When will that debut?
In April.
In April. All right. Well, if you don't mind, when you send out those celebratory press releases, send one our way, and we'll take a look at the publication.
Thank you very much.
Now, Milan, you authored and JNV has published a 12-page briefing entitled IED Lies, and it's the website that I mentioned, and I'll repeat that address later on in the conversation so that people can go and take a look at it for themselves. But you've done a brilliant job, I believe, in a very fast turnaround analysis of the events that occurred on Sunday, as I referenced in the introduction. We're now getting leaks about some of the American generals and others who participated in this anonymous briefing. But it's unusual, even by American standards, that they conducted this in Baghdad. And, you know, the audience, I think, was people in the United States, as the Bush administration tries to get us all feared up vis-a-vis Iran and more, I guess, malleable to the idea of a U.S. Military confrontation or attack on Iran. And on these shores, we're very concerned about that. We apply rational thinking and imagine that no rational person, no rational leader would take on Iran, given the difficulties that the U.S. already faces and the impact and the potential blowback that we would get from such an effort. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that the occupants of our White House are not often rational, and what we're seeing in the view of many is far too familiar. It's too similar to what we saw prior to the launch of the unilateral and elective war on Iraq. and they, you know, sifted through the intelligence, and they brought us the WMD issue. They talked about efforts to acquire uranium. They talked about stockpiles of nerve gas and other bio and chemical weapons. And all of that proved to be false. Many of us were skeptical as those allegations surfaced. Now, I'd like to give you a couple of minutes here to just describe this 12-page piece that you've written and analyze the key elements that were presented as assertions by the American officials who want us to believe these assertions are, in fact, true.
Well, I should say, first of all, that I think a lot of people are drawing the analogy with the way in which presentations were made about WMD in the run-up to the war in Iraq, and some people have referred to Colin Powell's presentation at the Security Council and so on, and there are some parallels. Obviously, one of the discontinuities is that that was a presentation made by the most credible person within the Bush administration at that time.
Yes.
In the highest possible forum in the world. Whereas, as you say, this is made by anonymous military officials in Baghdad, which tends to reduce the credibility of the whole thing. But I think in a way, what is happening is more akin to the Al-Qaeda-Iraq link than to the WMD story, because the WMD story was the core of certainly the British government's case for war, and it was very important to the U.S. administration's case for war. But that was pursued in a very systematic way, and there was a lot of briefing about that, a lot of speeches and so on. But the Iraq Al-Qaeda link was something that just kind of oozed out there into the public consciousness. And even now, in a poll last December, just a few weeks ago, 50% of people in the United States were found to think that there were strong links between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Nearly a fifth of people questioned thought that Iraq had been directly involved in the September 11th attacks, for which there's no evidence, and the administration is on record as saying there's no evidence. But nevertheless, it has oozed out into the public consciousness, and it's a kind of background fact. And I think that, in a way, this briefing is a contributor, I think that's the idea of it, it's supposed to be a contributor to the building up of the background fact in the public mind that Iran, the Iranian government, is supplying weapons that kill U.S. forces in Iraq. And the presentation itself was very timid, very weak. It was surrounded by a lot of timidity by Robert Gates, so on, the defense secretary, and others. There's timidity now where people are rowing back. You've got generals now rowing back. The presentation was pretty weak, but nevertheless, it adds to that atmosphere. Now, I think the most interesting thing about the presentation is what wasn't said, which we had been led to believe was going to be presented. So the day before, we were told that documents which had been captured in Iraq during the raids on Iranian offices, which happened in December and earlier in January, that there had been documents seized which were smoking gun. They were explosive. They were going to nail the Iranian government. In some stories, we were even told that explosives of the kind that are used in these roadside bombs had been found in these Iranian offices in Iraq when they were raided, and Iranians, including Iranian diplomats, were seized.
And specifically in Erbil.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were told there was going to be 2 inches of documents. We were told that there was information gleaned from these Iranians who'd been seized, which would implicate the Iranian government. We were told a whole bunch of things that were going to show up: computer drives, a treasure trove of information about Iran's network, supply line, sourcing, and funding. And none of that actually showed up in the briefing. I guess there is a parallel there with Colin Powell's presentation in that. Apparently he went through a lot of the material that he was given before he did the presentation, and he cut some of it out. So this is some of the stuff that we were being told 24 hours ahead of the presentation we were going to be shown: shape charges, documents, computer drives, you know, stuff gleaned from these interviews with these seized Iranians. None of it showed up. What we did get was a presentation by anonymous briefers where no cameras were allowed, no recordings were allowed, no transcript was issued afterwards. Sometimes somewhat absurd in that part of the evidence that reporters were shown were slides of weapons which had been seized, which the U.S. government said were Iranian in origin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there was a real disjuncture between what people were shown and what was alleged in the briefing, because what people were shown were various components, various fragments of weapons, various weapons, which it was said had been manufactured in Iran, could only have been manufactured in Iran. No evidence was given to support that. But even if that was the case, even if we grant that, there was no evidence given that it was the government in Tehran which had decided that those weapons should go in to Iraq and be supplied to these insurgents. Now, in the Daily Telegraph, which is a right-wing newspaper here in the UK, today they have a kind of a backup story where they say that the U.S. has seized a whole load of Austrian-made rifles in Iraq, which were sold to the Iranian government for use by their border guards. And so the Daily Telegraph is saying, hey, this is more evidence that the Iranian government is involved. But again, there's a question is, what evidence is there that these weapons have made their way from the border guard posts on the orders of the Iranian government and not because they were stolen or because the border guards have sold them for criminal profit?
We're talking with Milan Rai in London at Justice Not Vengeance here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Milan, let me offer a somewhat strained parallel here. The most popular weapon in Iraq is the Kalashnikov automatic rifle. And could the U.S. almost as absurdly claim that Russia has been aiding the insurgents because the most popular weapon in Iraq is the Kalashnikov?
Well, I think that what that parallel brings out is that there are things which are circulating in insurgent circles. So, for example, a while ago, the British government in particular was making a lot of claims about Iranian supply of technology to Iraqi insurgents because Iraqi insurgents were using an infrared triggering device mm-hmm. for hitting U.S. convoys and British convoys. And they were saying this technology has to come from Iran because Hezbollah has used it and Hezbollah was supplied it by the government of Iran. Now, these were assertions. Again, there wasn't any evidence of that. They started keeping quiet about this infrared technology, which is very difficult to jam. And as you know, the U.S. military is spending enormous amounts of money trying to jam these roadside bombs or improvised explosive devices, IEDs. They're very difficult to jam, and that's why there's a big fuss about it. But, mm-hmm. but then they shut up about it because it turned out the Independent and Sunday newspaper here in the U.K. revealed that that technology of light-based triggers for roadside bombs had got into insurgent circles from the IRA. And the reason why the IRA got it was because the British government was monitoring the IRA's procurement efforts, and they decided to assist the IRA in acquiring a light-based triggering mechanism on the thinking that if they knew exactly what the IRA was acquiring,
right.
then they could stay one step ahead of them with the countermeasures. So the infrared triggers, which are used in Iraq now, have spread around the Middle East via Palestinian groups who the IRA worked with
mm-hmm.
because the British government assisted the IRA in acquiring them.
That's fascinating. That's what we call that blowback. We're going to take a break here. Milan Rai is with us from Justice Not Vengeance. The website, www.j-n-v.org. And this powerful 12-page analysis is available to you in a PDF form. Grab it and read it for yourself. We'll continue with Milan Rai after a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift, now available at Lisa's Studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testifies lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. And what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Great tune from Elvis Costello. We continue with Milan Rai, last name spelled R-A-I, from Justice Not Vengeance in London. Again, their website is www.j-n-v.org. And at the very top of the homepage, you'll see the link to IED Lies, the PDF that I have on my screen in front of me right now. And Milan, I wanted to get specific about one issue that has been questioned here on these shores. You describe, according to Roy, that there were four items that were presented at this kind of bizarre press exchange anonymously provided by American officials in Baghdad on Sunday. The fourth reads, slides showing a complete mortar bomb with serial and manufacturing number. Now, many people who've seen photographs of this exhibit question why the labeling on it is in English.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, that's my question.
Well, I think that's one of the mysteries, and I'm not sure we're ever going to get an explanation for that. I know that there are people who specialize in studying serial numbers and so on, and in fact that's how sometimes where there's been disputed attacks in Lebanon and so on, people have been able to determine that bombs have come from Israel or not because of serial numbers and so on. Maybe it will be tracked down, but it does seem quite bizarre that Iranian factories would use English language serial numbers. Maybe they do. Maybe all of these things are manufactured in Iran, as the U.S. government says. I find it very difficult to understand how they can assert so confidently that Iran is the only country in the region which has factories capable of machining these kinds of weapons. Maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong about that. But what they haven't done is substantiate the main allegation which was made in the briefing, which was that the highest levels of the Iranian government are directly responsible for the supply of weapons to Shia insurgents in Iraq. And nothing that they provided on Sunday went to establishing that. Maybe they're right that those weapons were produced in Iran. Maybe they're right that the people who they captured in Iraq are members of a military grouping under the command of the supreme leader of Iran. Maybe they're right about all of those things, but it doesn't add up.
Now, since the U.S. is the, I believe, largest and most aggressive exporter of arms in the world, is the international standard English? Does the Kalashnikov have a serial number in English, or is it in Cyrillic?
I don't know what serial numbers on Kalashnikovs are like. I think quite a lot of them probably have serial numbers rubbed off them. But I think what happened in that briefing was very strange, because on the one hand, these U.S. officials were saying the highest levels of the Iranian government are directly behind all of this. And on the other hand, one of them said explicitly, there is no smoking gun linking the Iranian government to insurgents in Iraq.
Well, and we have General Peter Pace, who is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He told reporters he would not say that Iran's leadership was aware of or condoned the attacks. It's clear that Iranians are involved, and it's clear the materials from Iran are involved. But I would not say, by what I know, that the Iranian government clearly knows or is complicit. And that's from the Voice of America website.
Well, there's different levels, and one of them is the Iranian government has ordered this to happen. The next level down is the Iranian government hasn't ordered it to happen, but knows it's going on and isn't doing very much to stop it, which is what he means by clearly knows or is complicit. And then the next level down is they kind of know about it, but maybe they're trying to stop it for reasons of their own.
Well, and then there's another level, Milan, which is this should not be a surprise. The links between Muqtada al-Sadr and factions in Tehran are very clear. And, you know, if anything, this should be playing to the detriment of the Bush administration, that this is another way that they have bungled the occupation of Iraq. Instead, you know, they're able to spin this as a provocation from Iran. I want to take a call here. Peter V. joins us from Monterey. Hello, Peter.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Milan, welcome.
Hi there. Thank you.
I would like to offer you, Milan, another explanation of what an EFP actually is, if you have a moment.
Please go right ahead.
These are actually explosives fabricated by plumbers, EFP. These are nothing more than steel pipes, open-ended pipe bombs, into which they've cut copper saucers in order to form the shape charges. Are you aware of that?
Well, I don't doubt that the basic technologies are fairly straightforward. However, I'm not an expert in it, but the shaping of the copper cap seems to be something that, for maximum effect, has to be done to a particular design and with a specific level of tolerance and so on, which doesn't seem to be necessarily a backstreet job. It may be something that requires a higher level of sophistication than that, because it has to compress and then turn into a kind of semi-solid projectile by being shaped in a particular way.
Peter,
I'm not sure exactly what level of technology you have to design one of those.
Peter, just a quick follow-up. I'm tight for time.
I'll keep it real quick. Our own Soldier of Fortune magazine, May 2005, had an explicit article on the simplicity of this and the development of it from simple platter charges, which started off being buried in the ground, to these above-ground explosive devices. And no, they don't require a great deal of sophistication. Again,
all right, Peter, I'm sorry I'm out of time. Thanks for joining us. And Milan Rai, thank you for your work. Again, the website, www.j-n-v.org, Justice, Not Vengeance, in London.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Tom Hartman.
Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney and Pearl and Wolfowitz, they all believed that if we knocked over Saddam and then we went in and we changed all the rules in Iraq to inflict shock therapy, the conservative corporatist worldview on Iraq.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
That it would create such a happy place that within 6 months we could simply come home. They so believed that there was no plan B. That's how crazed these guys are.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Debate begins on the new strategy in Iraq.
I am opposed to a troop surge that doubles down on a bad military debt.
Snow and ice from the Midwest to the East.
This is a major winter storm which is directly affecting the weather in 30 states.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. As the Iraqi general in charge of Baghdad announced his plans for a security crackdown with U.S. help, the House opened debate today on the Democrats' Iraq War resolution.
Democratic Speaker Nancy Pelosi kicked off the historic debate, which will end Friday with the House taking a vote of no confidence in President Bush's Iraq plans.
It is based on a judgment that the way out of Iraq lies in sending more troops in. Our experience in Iraq has proven just the opposite.
Republican leader John Boehner said this non-binding resolution sends a terrible message to America's enemies.
Do we really believe that if we pack up now, if we abandon Iraq and leave the country in chaos, that our enemies are just going to lay down their arms and leave us alone?
The long debate allows every member to speak for 5 minutes, and Senate Leader Harry Reid says after the House passes it, the Senate will try to take it up. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
From Baghdad, CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has details on the plan to stop the violence.
The Iraqi commander announced the country's borders with Iran and Syria will be closed, but it isn't clear how. They're porous borders, and Iraq lacks enough guards to secure them. Another measure extends the nightly curfew in Baghdad, but only by 1 hour. Lieutenant General Abud Gambar also indicated troops may enter mosques during the security operations if they deem necessary. These operations, which could last weeks, are Iraqi-led, but will involve part of the surge of American troops President Bush called for. Many will man combat outposts with the Iraqis throughout the city.
CBS News has learned that radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has gotten out of Dodge. He quietly fled to Iran some weeks ago. Osama bin Laden's deputy weighs in.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah.
In a new video, Ayman al-Zawahiri says President Bush was an alcoholic who's now addicted to lying and gambling. He says the troop surge in Iraq is a gamble that's bound to fail. Now this.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep. I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
The season's latest weather system has something for just about everyone east of the Mississippi.
This storm has produced every possible weather event that can be associated with a winter storm. That includes freezing rain, sleet, snow, heavy rain, high winds, flooding, severe thunderstorms, and tornadoes.
Dennis Felchin of the National Weather Service. The storm's already disrupted travel across the Midwest. CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers is in Chicago.
It isn't the half foot of snow here, or even the 10 inches in western Indiana. That just makes things messy. It's the wind howling across the Midwest at 40 miles an hour. That turned a simple snowstorm into a blizzard. very nearly bringing one of the nation's busiest airports to a standstill. More than 750 flights into and out of O'Hare were canceled, which in turn cripples air traffic from coast to coast. O'Hare may be back to normal tomorrow, but airports to the east are in the storm's path.
Forecasters say interior New England can expect a full-blown blizzard with up to 2 feet of snow. Vice President Cheney will not be called to testify at the trial of his former chief of staff, Scooter Libby, and the defense made known today that Libby won't take the stand either. Risky, says CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
This, I think, is a huge gamble for the defense after Libby's attorneys, during opening statements, promised that jurors would become convinced that this case was all about their client's bad memory, a mistake. So far, we've heard precisely one defense witness make that claim, and I'm not sure that's going to be enough to gain an acquittal for Libby.
Kansas has been the target of ridicule since it imposed school science guidelines that questioned evolution. Today, the State Board of Education repealed those guidelines. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him. And we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas, you can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus.
Welcome to another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. 6 minutes past, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up later this hour, Melanie Sloan will join us for an extended report from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, about the 25 most corrupt officials in the Bush administration. Some names you know, some fresh ones. We'll detail it for you coming up in about half an hour. And Jason Leopold of TruthOut.org, who's covering the Libby trial for us, will not be able to join us today. He's on deadline to crank out a story with the breaking news that Dick Cheney will not be testifying at the Libby trial, and that Scooter himself will not be taking the stand. We hope to have Jason on with us tomorrow. We'll update you as soon as we know. But first, the Chicken Hawks have plans for a whole new war. Are you ready?
Well, my son asked me today, is this another Vietnam? I said, son, you know, it's go ask your mom. It brought back such precious memories of my days in business school, my favorite stool. Then my wife said, hey, I'm worried because they're starting to deploy. I said, honey, don't be silly. We'll send someone else's boy because we all make sacrifices. And in a war, that's what the poor people are for. I said, fight on for freedom's sake, long as I don't shake and bake.
Chicken hawk.
Call me a chicken hawk. Proud to be a chicken hawk.
And the baseline harmony there supplied, I think, by Dick Cheney himself. Ray McGovern joins us again on the program today. He served 27 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, and he has been a sharp critic of the adventures of the Bush administration. Notably, last year he was the one in Atlanta who went head-to-head, toe-to-toe, with the former Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, and we finally got his resignation right after the November elections. Ray, welcome back to our program.
Thanks, Peter B. It's good to be with you.
I want to talk to you about two pieces that you published recently and that people can find online at the Common Dreams website, commondreams.org. And the first one is published last week called Wake Up, the Next War is Coming. And I think many Americans feel quite confused right now. The president went out of his way and did a C-SPAN interview that was broadcast yesterday and today, trying to calm fears that his administration has the intention to militarily confront Iran. But all the signals belie the president's statements. We now have a third carrier group that has been instructed to steam to the Persian Gulf area. And with the rhetoric that's flying around and the various provocative incidents, including the Erbil case about 2 weeks ago where the U.S. Busted some Iranians who claimed diplomatic cover who were in the city of Erbil north of Baghdad in Iraq. What is your take? Do you believe that George W. Bush and Dick Cheney have a clear intent to militarily confront Iran?
Well, Peter B., they've put themselves in that position. We're military ready with this third carrier group, which has that been confirmed now? Is that the Nimitz by any chance?
You know, I don't know the name. I saw the news break over the weekend, and perhaps I can look it up while we're talking.
Well, I've seen one thing on it, but I had no confirmation. If there are three, that's pretty serious. Two are bad enough. Each time there have been two aircraft carrier battle groups in the Persian Gulf, there have been strikes. Earlier, of course, on Iraq. This would not be on Iraq. I wonder where it would be, who the target was. It would obviously be Iran. So militarily, they're there. Now, there are those who say, well, we're just trying to threaten Iran and get them to make compromises. Well, you know, if anybody thinks that's going to work, you know, they really should, they shouldn't be in power. It's going to have the opposite effect. And the Israelis, of course, are really saying that we should go ahead and do this job before it's too late. And what does too late mean? In their terms, it means as soon as the Iranians have the know-how to make a bomb, you know, have the nuclear material necessary to make a bomb. So it's already at that point. And the question is whether our president has let himself be led into a kind of a messianic task here to rid the world of the capability that Iran has or will have to manufacture a nuclear weapon. He seems to be driven by this kind of vision, and of course Dick Cheney is stoking the fires, and both of them seem to be somewhat under the influence of the Israeli leaders, first and foremost Sharon, who of course is no longer active, but with the whole notion that Israel is some special place. They can have 200 nuclear weapons, Iran can have none. The whole notion that the real solution here, which should be a nuclear-free Middle East, is off the table. It's the only thing they won't discuss. It's a textbook example of a lack of balance here, and it's the whole problem with the administration's approach to things in the Middle East. There is no balance. And what we have very often is the Israeli tail wagging the American dog.
Mm-hmm. Ray, I have an article here. It's from Newsweek, and the sub-headline reads, "A second Navy carrier group is steaming toward the Persian Gulf, and Newsweek has learned that a third carrier will likely follow." So that is a bit speculative, a little bit more than the way I asserted it, so I want to just dial back from that. But it doesn't, at least from what I can glean from the article here, it doesn't name what aircraft carrier that would be.
Well, that is the report I saw, and the one we're watching, and any of you people out there in the state of Washington might want to look to see if the Nimitz is fitting out, is getting ready to leave, because that could leave as soon as 2 weeks from now and also go to that battle station. So everyone who knows about the Nimitz or can watch it, tell us if it starts to get underway.
Ray McGovern, before you came on in the preceding half hour, we went to London and spoke with Milan Rai, who is a writer and with an organization called Justice Not Vengeance. They've published a 12-page analysis of this rather unusual, I would say bizarre, news conference staged in Baghdad this past Sunday, where the ground rules were no cameras, the briefers were not identified. Some of those identities apparently have leaked out in the last 48 hours. But there was a parade of very thin evidence. and it's circumstantial at best. And yet the conclusions being inferred to this so-called evidence, these exhibits of explosive devices and other munitions, seems to be, something that, again, is cooked up. Stovepiped intelligence that is intended to scare the American people and perhaps buttress the case for confrontation with Iran.
Well, you're right about that. This one's very curious pas de deux here. It's a ballet that we hadn't seen before. In previous circumstances, specifically with respect to Iraq, we saw them all singing from the same page, of course, and the trumped-up evidence was universally bruited about as being conclusive. This time, we have the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, saying the evidence is, quote, pretty good, end quote. He sat on the evidence for several weeks and wouldn't let them release it. And then they released it, and they said, now the government of Iran is certainly behind this. And today, General Peter Principal Pace said that no, we're not sure that the Iranian government is behind it. Well, his own generals have already said so. So it's really, really strange. Now, with respect to the weaponry itself, there are no forensics. There are no people allowed to take photos, as you noted. Usually, when they have something conclusive, they'll set it out on a table and let the photographers and everyone else have at it. What is the evidence? Well, the British have said that there have been instances where some of their things have been blown up by these penetrating shells, that some of which are made in Iran. And that's not to be ruled out, but the notion that these improvised devices are what's causing the killing of our soldiers is really bizarre, because it's the Sunni that are killing our soldiers. 75% of our soldiers are being killed in Anbar province, and where the Sunni's insurgency is. And if the Iranians are not going to give these things to the Sunni, they might give them to factions in the Shia,
mm-hmm.
and they probably are. But to suggest that that's a major new development, it's been going on for quite some time. There are other things to be said here. Everyone can make, a lot of people can make these sophisticated devices, and the whole question comes down to why are they making this such a big deal right now? And this is speculative, but I have my own interpretation here. You see, if we accept the premise that they're out to make war on Iran, what I mean is they're out to attack Iran and its nuclear weapons development sites by the air and by missile, then they need some sort of justification they can offer up to the American people. Now, they have been going on the assumption that the American people would be gullible enough to say that Iran's nuclear potential, that Iran could have a bomb, and that's why we have to bomb them now. Well, the intelligence community has made a big point of saying Iran is not capable of getting a bomb for 5 to 10 years, okay? Who is Iran a threat to? Certainly not the United States. It's a threat to no one right now. Who could it be a threat to if it had one or two bombs? Well, everyone says Israel.
And let's pause there, because we'll take a break and return and talk about the other piece that you published at Common Dreams, which suggests that Israel could be in great peril if we move forward with a confrontation with Iran. Ray McGovern is our guest. If you have a question or comment, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Good evening. Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic, we have a two-vehicle accident in Carmel. This is Carmel Valley Road at Via Petra. This is two vehicles. They have been cleared over the shoulder. No injuries reported, but the vehicles are not drivable. So just waiting for a couple of tow trucks to arrive. Clear them all the way out of there. Also, two-vehicle accident, Santa Cruz. Soquel Drive at Thurber Lane. This is two vehicles as well cleared over the shoulder. CHP on scene. Taking a report. And Highway 17, both directions through Santa Cruz Mountains. Check and install and accident-free so far this evening. There's some long-term road work going on in Santa Cruz you should know about. Northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is actually closed, and this work is scheduled to continue all the way through December of this year. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants, so where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 22 minutes after the hour. Our guest is former CIA analyst Ray McGovern, who wrote in the article published at Common Dreams last week a challenge to Democratic Senator Jay Rockefeller, the new chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee. He says, why not stop the potential attack on Iran, Senator Rockefeller? Stop the war against Iran before it starts. You are chair of the Intelligence Committee. You don't have to be stonewalled, as previous chair Senator Bob Graham was in September of 2002. Yes, he voted against the war in Iraq because he knew of the games being played with the intelligence. But he failed to play a leadership role. He didn't tell his 99 colleagues they were being diddled. It's time for some leadership. Ray McGovern, those are powerful words, and I embrace them. What's your take on the Senate non-debate and the start of debate in the House on these non-binding resolutions?
Well, I'm not an expert on domestic politics. I tend to give the people running these exercises the benefit of the doubt up to a point. Non-binding resolutions, well, if that comes in with a real big majority, I tend to think that has to be a good thing. My problem is that we don't have a lot of time. My friends and I, the ones who have been watching this very closely, think that if the president and Cheney are going to go bomb and missile the heck out of Iran, they're probably likely to do it within the next month. And to sit around as though the Democrats were still in opposition, you know, I heard them say many times, we can't do anything, we're in the minority. To have them watch this inexorable creep of war against a major country, Iran, and not do anything seems to me unconscionable. And so what I was trying to do is to say, look, Senator Rockefeller, you are due a national intelligence estimate on Iran. One is under preparation. Now they're saying it'll be ready sort of in March. Okay? Well, these estimates are supposed to be ready before the policy decisions, not after. You know, for example, on the surge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the president decided to do the surge, and then a month later, out comes the national intelligence estimate, which shows that the surge is ridiculous. It makes it will make no difference. Okay, now they're going to do an attack on Iran, and then a couple weeks later, get a national intelligence estimate that says Iran is 5 to 10 years away from a nuclear weapon. Iran is not really threatening anyone, and they've got their own political problems inside, which will be exacerbated in favor of the extremists if you bomb. That's what the estimate says, and the president's going to go ahead anyway. So what Rockefeller can do is insist on at least seeing a draft of the estimate and making sure that his 99 colleagues also see it so they don't play games like they did in September and October of 2002 and trick Congress into sort of acquiescing in a war that is totally unnecessary and in this case would be even more disastrous than the one in Iraq.
Ray McGovern, you wrote a separate piece that was published last Friday at both TomPaine.com and Common Dreams, and I lift this paragraph, mesmerized. Sadly, this is the best word to describe those of us awake to the inexorable march of folly to war with Iran and the growing danger to Israel's security, especially over the medium and long term. An American and or Israeli attack on Iran will let slip the dogs of war. Those dogs never went to obedience school. They will not be denied their chance to bite, and Israel's arsenal of nuclear weapons will be powerless to muzzle them.
I'm afraid that's true, and I care about Israel. And when I watch what's happening with these myopic policies, you know, one of the main drives behind the neocons' decision to get into Iraq was to make that part of the world safer for the state of Israel. Look what's happened. There were no terrorists in Iraq before we invaded. There were not one suicide bomber. Now the place is teeming with terrorists. Israel is in much more risk than it was before the war. Then think about Lebanon last summer. We encouraged them to do what they did in Lebanon, bomb the heck out of the infrastructure there, try to get Hezbollah. They didn't succeed. And now, whereas before they did that, there was an even chance that Lebanon could evolve into the kind of multi-confessional state that existed, you know, back in the 70s before all the civil war. Now Lebanon is bound to be dominated by Islamic extremists like Hamas. And so these projections of power, this willy-nilly use of power, has gotten Israel nowhere. And if they're sucked into attacking Iran, Iran can, number one, retaliate against Israel. Mm-hmm. And then in this country, my fear is that when Americans realize that the argument that this particular war against Iran was really more a war for Israel to protect them than it was for us, then, you know, when people worry about anti-Semitism, I worry greatly.
Yeah.
When our kids are being killed, and that's the explanation that will be adduced, that's not going to be good for anybody.
Let's get a quick comment from Laird in Eureka. Just about 30 seconds, Laird. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quick, like, I would like to ask if he thinks that Bush ever intended to get out of the Middle East.
Okay.
Good question. No. He needs the oil. He needs permanent military bases to dominate that oil. And he perceives that Israel needs him to be there in force and en masse. So the permanent military bases will, and bushes can remain.
All right. Thank you for that quick question, Laird. I appreciate it. And Ray McGovern, as always, thank you for your work and for your outspokenness. We need you.
You're most welcome.
All right. You take care. We'll talk again soon.
Right.
That's Ray McGovern. Coming up next on the Peter B. Collins Show, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has named the 25 most corrupt members of the Bush administration. Melanie Sloan will detail it for us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Credit cards for lawbreakers? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Hispanics who have no credit history and no Social Security number and who snuck into the country from Mexico. To many Americans, they're nothing more than lawbreakers. But the Bank of America has another way to describe them, that being customers, which is why the bank is now offering credit cards to people who have no Social Security number and no credit history. Now, the Federation for American Immigration Reform considers this to be nothing less than aiding and abetting lawbreakers, because these are lawbreakers. You can't deny that. But they're an interesting variety of lawbreaker. They're lawbreakers whose offense is an uncontrollable urge to work like crazy. Nothing seems to stop them from wanting to make money. And banks notice this kind of thing. So for $99, the Bank of America will give someone like this a credit evaluation conducted by an actual human bank employee, and if they pass, they get a credit limit of $500 with an interest rate of 22%. In fact, the Bank of America is so determined to sign these people up, it now has a director of Latin American card operations. It wants these people as customers for the same reason employers want them as employees. In fact, according to this morning's Wall Street Journal, signing these people up is about the only way the Bank of America can continue growing. Which is why I say these illegals are an interesting variety of lawbreaker. Lawbreakers who are guilty of wanting to work, who are guilty of creating economic growth, and who, if this new trend continues, could also be guilty of having excellent credit.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam, firewalls, and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now
and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use. That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewalls. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or go online to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Thank you.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. 33 minutes after the hour. Every week we invite Melanie Sloan to drop by and update us on corruption in Washington, D.C. It's an expanded segment this week because Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, after exhaustive research, has named the 25 most corrupt officials of the Bush administration. Some of them are names you might be familiar with. There are a few ones that I'm not. We're going to get details now from Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW. Hi, Melanie.
Hi, Peter. There was just too much corruption to get through in 15 minutes tonight.
Absolutely, and you're hunkered down with an ice storm in Washington.
That's exactly right.
So
I have nowhere to go anyway.
Throw an extra Duraflame on the fire and fill us in. Now, there's some breaking news that dovetails very neatly with your list of the 25 most corrupt officials in the Bush administration, and that is a grand jury returned a series of indictments today against Kyle Dusty Fogo and Brent Roger Wilkes. Now, Brent Wilkes is known to many people who've followed our conversations regarding the indictment and conviction and the sentencing to jail of former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham in the San Diego area. And we've been waiting for Brent Wilkes and some of the other lobbyists who bribed Duke Cunningham to face some music. Tell us about the background of this story and how it connects Wilkes with Fogo, who was a top official at the CIA.
Okay, well, I'll try, but that alone could take more than half an hour.
Good luck.
First, can we just talk about the fact that his name is Dusty Fogo, which you really couldn't make up for a CIA guy?
Yeah.
You have to like that part. So Kyle, quote, Dusty Fogo is the number three at the CIA under Porter Goss. Now, he wasn't always the number three at the CIA. Previously, he's been at the CIA since 1982, and he was often in undercover capacities, but he was a procurement official. And whenever you start noticing that someone's a procurement official, you should start looking at who they're procuring for and how much money's really coming in for them, because that seems to be such a problem. But Dusty Fogo was a longtime friend of Brent Wilkes. They, in fact, went to high school together, and that's one of the things that they're going to be arguing, you can be sure, at both of their trials, which is that Dusty Fogo and Kyle and Brent Wilkes were doing favors for each other because they were such longtime friends, and that was really what was going on. It wasn't actually bribes. Now, that's going to be a little hard to believe when you consider that they took that Brent Wilkes took Dusty Fogo on a $44,000 trip to Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Scotland? Does nobody ever want to go anyplace else but Scotland? I personally don't want to go to Scotland. It's cold and rainy there.
Well, it's golf and the scotch.
It's golf and the scotch. And in this case, also trout and salmon fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was part of it. And Brent Wilkes paid for lots of great trips for Dusty Fogo, as well as a very expensive humidor and some very pricey meals. And in return, Dusty Fogo was procuring contracts for Brent Wilkes, who, and this is another thing we're seeing a lot of these days, and this is in large part thanks to the Bush administration's insistence on outsourcing everything. People become defense contractors not because they have some particular specialty or some particular talent or skill that they're selling. They just become defense contractors because there's a lot of money in becoming a defense contractor, and basically they're just middlemen. So what Brent Wilkes was doing was he got a contract for bottled water that was better than and he charged more for the bottled water than somebody else charged. He marked up bottled water by 60%. And because his friend was Dusty Fogo, Fogo was able to get the contract for the bottled water to Brent Wilkes, even though that was more expensive than somebody else's bottled water contract. But it's not that Brent Wilkes had he was not a water bottler. He just bought bottled water and then resold it at a 60% markup to the CIA.
Gee, that's brilliant.
That's brilliant. And if you and I were really smart, neither of us would be in the line of work we're in. We'd be defense contractors, because that's also what got Duke Cunningham into so much trouble. He too was giving out defense contracts. And one of the main people he was giving defense contracts to was a man named Mitchell Wade, who's already been indicted and pleaded guilty. Mitchell Wade, like Brent Wilkes, was a middleman, never had any particular skill, but started up his whole defense contracting business thanks to Duke Cunningham. Something else that Duke Cunningham and Brent Wilkes and Dusty Fogo have in common is they use these, what we call, the black budget contracts, which is that they're defense intelligence contracts. So there's a lot less oversight over those kind of contracts. Nobody takes a look at those because you have to have a certain clearance level even to see what's going on.
Now, I'm looking through the indictment, which is posted at citizensforethics.org right now, and people can pull it up from the homepage there. And I'm looking at item 16 here. On or about January 28, 2004, the CIA contractor, which is FOGO, entered into contracts with Wilkes, agreeing to pay a Wilkes company $375,000 every 3 months for lobbying services to form a joint venture with Wilkes to explore non-CIA business, and to pay Wilkes through a third party 30% of the joint venture's net income in 2004. So these guys were knee-deep in a lot of deals, and it appears that FOGO forgot that he worked for the U.S. government and had a fiduciary responsibility to taxpayers.
That's exactly right, and that's why he's charged with something called honest services fraud. And honest services fraud is what we've seen several people go down for, including Bob Ney, someone we talked about on your show a lot, a former congressman from Ohio. And that's when you owe the United States government your honest services, your hard work for an honest day's pay, and you don't give it to them. And that's honest services fraud. And they also have some much more complicated transactions in here that leave them with wire fraud and money laundering and conspiracy charges. But you can, the really interesting thing here is that Brent Wilkes has previously refused to plead guilty. He was never interested in a deal. Now that he's been indicted, it'll be interesting to see if he does, in fact, change his mind, because he is facing a significant amount of jail time with this indictment. And what prosecutors are clearly looking for from Brent Wilkes is, what other members of Congress was he involved in with? They know he was involved with Duke Cunningham, but there's been a suggestion that other members of Congress, particularly from California, for example, Duncan Hunter, who, interestingly enough, has declared for president, and not the kind of thing you would think you do when you have these kind of skeletons rattling around in your closet.
Mm-hmm.
But there are members of Congress, including Duncan Hunter and Jerry Lewis also, who could easily be implicated by Brent Wilkes should he choose to go that route and save his own skin.
We're talking with Melanie Sloan from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, Melanie, on my most recent visit to Washington, it was kind of a personal thrill. I got a really cheap internet hotel room at the Watergate. And I hung out in the bar there waiting for Porter Goss to show up and invite me to a poker game. Now, tie this together, because Kyle Dusty Fogo was a frequent player at these card games that lobbyists set up at the Watergate, and Porter Goss reportedly attended some of these card games while he was CIA director. And it's been, I don't have direct evidence, but what I've read is that sometimes these high-powered people would win the card games, and then a prostitute would appear to, help them spend their winnings.
Oh, not only that, but amazingly, the high-powered government employees always won the card games, and the lobbyists always lost. What's the likelihood?
Well, you know, sometimes the cards just don't work for you.
Sometimes not, and that's another thing that Brent Wilkes could tell us all a lot more about, and we're all waiting with bated breath to hear. That's why I say the Brent Wilkes story is really just beginning, and there is a lot more to go. Dusty Fogo, he really doesn't have a lot more information. He was just using his position as a procurement officer to help his friend Brent Wilkes in return for lots of money, but he doesn't know a lot else. Brent Wilkes, on the other hand, is all tied into what was going on with the members of Congress last year, or the last several years, and he has a lot to tell, and that's why I think there's so much more to come out in that story.
Well, this is a soap opera that will keep on giving, so we will look to you for additional updates as the cases progress.
Now, tune in tomorrow, as they say.
This is a great way to lead into the new CREW report, Criminals and Scoundrels, the 25 Most Corrupt Officials of the Bush Administration, and Dusty Fogo did make the cut there. Tell us about the process that you used to identify these individuals, and how difficult was it to get it down to 25?
He did. Now, I will say that when we did it, Dusty Fogo was merely a scoundrel, and now he's raised up to criminal level because he's indicted.
Okay.
But what we did was we took a list of originally 160 different Bush administration officials, and then we winnowed it down by looking at the seriousness of their conduct and by whether or not they had betrayed the public trust and how high level they were in the Bush administration. And you get a pretty shocking list. And the one thing I will say is that people who look at the list on our website may be disturbed to see that Scooter Libby isn't on the list, even though he's been indicted and is now on trial in the criminal case for perjury and obstruction of justice. And the reason for that is that we haven't included anybody involved in outing Valerie Plame Wilson as a covert CIA officer because we represent the Wilsons mm-hmm. in their civil litigation. And in fact, I've been specifically banned from the judge in the criminal case from speaking in any way about the criminal trial and Scooter Libby. So we didn't feel like we could include him and still talk about the list. So that's why we've left off that whole area sort of off the table.
Okay. So are these mostly graft and corruption money crimes, or does it go beyond that into influence peddling that doesn't really involve personal enrichment?
You know, it's a mix. We have a couple of sex crimes, we have a lot of personal enrichment, and we have a lot more procurement fraud, which is, I think, the thing that people should be focused on as one of the real things that's come out of the Bush administration. The number of government contracts that are being outsourced means there is so much more potential for procurement officials to engage in illegal conduct, and while we've increased the number of these contracts, we have not also increased the oversight over the officials who are responsible for those contracts. So inspector general's offices, for example, don't have more staff, don't have more people reviewing contracts, and at the same time, there are so many more contracts going out.
Well, we saw a Sunday New York Times, I think it was a week ago Sunday, that the not just in the military sector, but the amount of contracting done by this administration is an exponential increase over the 1990s. I think it's over 200%.
That's right. It's an incredible figure, and that's why there's so much problems. Another good example of a procurement fraud came with a man named Robert Stein, who was with the Coalition Provisional Authority. He was charged with a crime for personally accepting over $1 million in bribes and payments in exchange for handing over $8 million in contracts to one particular contractor in Iraq. And that's just one example of that. But let me tell you first about my favorite example.
Okay.
And my favorite example is somebody that nobody really has heard of. And it's a man named Robert Schofield, and he's at the Department of Homeland Security. And the reason I think Mr. Schofield is such a disturbing case is because he's worked for 30 years in the Washington District Office of what's now the U.S. Citizen and Immigration Services, and it's located in Homeland Security. It used to be the INS, Immigration and Naturalization Services.
Mm-hmm.
Between 1998 and 2004, Mr. Schofield served as the Assistant Deputy Director of Examinations with responsibility for activities such as hearing appeals from immigration applications. He also once worked at INS, where he was once demoted for conduct unbecoming to a government employee because he had an inappropriate relationship with a woman connected to an INS criminal probe. When INS officials confronted him, he then fled to East Asia, where he charged $36,000 worth of unauthorized purchases on his government-issued credit card. So he's not only never prosecuted for this, he comes back and he's eventually promoted to a supervisor at INS. Then, in June of 2006, now that he's a supervisor, he's arrested and charged with illegally granting residency and issuing naturalization certificates to more than 100 unqualified immigrants as part of an 8-year-long scam he ran out of his Fairfax, Virginia office, where he was charging them $10,000 a pop for these falsified documents.
Wow.
Yeah.
And no, other than that first episode you described, he's had no contact with authorities who've attempted to curb his behavior or discipline him for these actions?
Apparently not. Apparently you can be promoted to supervisor after stealing $36,000 on your government credit card.
Well, but at least he didn't claim to have been there when JonBenet died and demand a business class ticket back from Bangkok.
I guess, we can be thankful for small things. But that's why he's my favorite sort of unknown person.
All right, we're going to take a break and return with Melanie Sloan. They've named the 25 most corrupt officials in the Bush administration. We'll see how many more we can cover for you. But if you want the details, visit the website Citizens for Ethics, citizensforethics.org. In each case, there's a dossier on the individual and the case against them. We'll continue in just a moment with Melanie Sloan from Crew here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
An accident in the final clearing stages in Santa Cruz. This is that two vehicles mix it up. Soquel Drive at Thurber Lane. They're both over on the right-hand shoulder. CHP on scene as well. Just taking a report before they clear all the way out of there. And in Hollister, reports of a man walking around in the roadway. He was last seen Union Road at Southside Road. This is a guy sort of stumbling in and out of the lane, so definitely keep your eyes open for him. It's Union Road at Southside Road. Smooth ride through the Santa Cruz Mounts Highway 17, both directions. Check it in. Stall and accident-free. Also, some long-term road work going on in Santa Cruz you should know about. Northbound 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp. This off-ramp actually closed for long-term road work all the way through December. Stopping somewhere for the night with over 2,000 motels coast-to-coast, somewhere between where you are and where you're going, there's a Super 8. See you along the way. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 9 minutes away from the hour. My guest, Melanie Sloan from CREWS, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. They have just published this well-researched list, 25 most corrupt officials of the Bush administration, headlined Criminals and Scoundrels. And let's try to weave through this and at least name some of the key figures or the categories of figures that people need to know about, Melanie. I guess one of the biggest categories, as you pointed out, was in procurement. So we have Loretta Doan at the GSA. We have Andrea Grimsley at Homeland Security. John Korsmo, Federal Housing Finance Board. Let's see, who else? We know about David Safavian. That was an Abramoff-related procurement issue.
We have Jeffrey Staten at the U.S. Army, and we have Darlene Druyan at the U.S. Air Force. Those are all people who are involved in procurement fraud.
Mm-hmm. And are they mostly fairly direct relationships? Do any of them involve, say, sitting members of Congress who intervened to grease the skids, say, for a Brent Wilkes type figure?
Nope. Each one of these people directly gave contracts in return for money for personal enrichment, and all of them have, in fact, been, other than Loretta Doan, have been charged with crimes for their activities.
All right. Now let's go to the Department of Interior, where three people made the grade here. David Smith, Stephen Griles, who I'm familiar with, and also William Myers, who came very close to being given a lifetime appointment to a federal court.
Right. William Myers was the subject of an Inspector General investigation, and that's the very least you had to go through in order to make our list, Inspector General who criticized your behavior. prior to Mr. Meyer's appointment as a solicitor, as solicitor of the Interior Department, he had entered into a recusal agreement in which he said that while he was at the Department of Interior, he would not deal with former clients and supporters. But during that one-year recusal period, he met with his former law firm at least 9 times. And months before leaving that agency, he convinced Representatives John Doolittle, one of your favorite members from California, and Wally Herger to introduce legislation to give away $1 million in land to a private company. Once this scandal became became known, suddenly they dropped that legislation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. I guess Kenneth Tomlinson is a category of his own. He's the guy who ran his horse racing enterprise while trying to keep liberals out of public broadcasting.
That's right. He used political tests as a major criteria to recruit personnel and choose programming, and then he used office resources to run his personal horse racing operation. Frankly, he's one person on our list who I just do not understand, as a former prosecutor myself, why he has not been criminally prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. Now, the name Rehnquist has to ring a bell because the Chief Justice who died last year was William Rehnquist. Is this his daughter, Janet, at HHS?
Yes, Janet is indeed Mr. Rehnquist's, former Chief Justice Rehnquist's daughter. She delayed a planned audit of the retirement system of Florida at the request of Governor George Bush, who was then running for re-election. The audit found that Florida had received excessive federal contributions of about $571 million that the state was going to be required to return, and he didn't want that to come out before his election. She also demonstrated serious lapses in judgment when she improperly obtained a firearm, which, by the way, she kept in the desk of her office, and law enforcement credentials. In addition, two medical societies threatened to sue HHS over a regulation that resulted in claims denials. She intervened at the request of one of the lawyers representing one of the societies who was a personal friend of hers.
Hmm. Very interesting. And let me think here. Claude Allen, he was a White House advisor. And what I know,
a White House advisor, he was the top domestic policy advisor for George Bush. And George Bush also wanted to name him to be a federal judge, which he couldn't get through the American Bar Association, who said he was totally unqualified. He engaged in a scheme to steal from Target stores.
Right.
He would go buy, he bought, for example, a printer and a home stereo from Target. Then he brought them out to his car. Then he came in with the receipts for those items, went to the store shelves, picked those items up again, and then sought to return them. And this was all captured on videotape. He is pleaded guilty, and he's only getting probation so that he gets to keep his bar license.
Wow. Okay, you get to pick one more. We don't have room for everybody else, but who deserves a special attention from this list?
You know, I think another particularly important one is Lester Crawford, and that's because the Food and Drug Administration is such an important agency to all of our safety, and Lester Crawford was named the head of Food and Drug Administration, and he failed to disclose his personal stock ownership and the sale of stock options in companies that the FDA was actually regulating, and as a result, he ended up criminally prosecuted.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, on another front, Crew has filed a complaint with the Internal Revenue Service regarding Living Word Christian Center in Brooklyn and its pastor, the Reverend James Mac Hammond. He has some kind of a stunt plane that I don't understand this one. You're going to have
to. Let me tell you that it's Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, so it's not New York.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I had to go to the next line for that. Go ahead.
This is a pastor who is, you know, sort of undermines pastors everywhere. He believes in something called the prosperity gospel, which means he has a right to get rich off his church, and he believes that God only really loves rich people and not poor people. But the reason that we filed an IRS complaint against him was because he has he got involved in a complicated scheme involving an airplane where he purchased a plane partially on credit from his church and then leased it back to the church, charging them more than the cost of the plane. In addition, while the plane remained in his possession, the church paid all of its expenses, including rent to store the plane in Hammond's own hangar. This leaseback deal violates the tax law provision called enormment, which prohibits somebody from financially benefiting from a 501c3 organization, which a church is. And that's exactly what Pastor Hammond has done. And this is actually our second complaint against this church. It turns out one of these planes is a stunt plane, there's no possible way that Hammond can explain why the church ought to be paying for him to have a stunt plane, which is all about his personal activities and can't even possibly be an important church resource. And so we're hoping that the IRS will look into it, but we're skeptical because they've been only looking into liberal organizations and liberal churches like the All Saints Church over in Pasadena, California,
yeah.
and then the NAACP, while they've been ignoring the clear violations of conservative organizations like the LWCC Church.
So do you think that he did use it for religious purposes and it was just to get closer to God?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised to hear him argue that. He's probably listening tonight and thinking that that's really helpful to him.
Melanie, if it weren't so serious, I'd say that the work you do is richly entertaining because every story has these angles to it that are so rich and so hard to believe.
You know, you really have to find the amusement value in it, because if you are like me and spend your day with these things day in and day out, you would just not get out of bed if you couldn't see the humor in it.
Read all about it at citizensforethics.org, citizensforethics.org. Melanie Sloan, Executive Director of CREW, thanks for joining us today.
Talk to you next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Remember the time you almost volunteered to work in a soup kitchen? Or when you almost visited the Veterans Hospital? Or when you almost brought dinner to your neighbor with AIDS? Remember all the times you almost helped, almost gave? Well, it's only human, this almost giving. But the truth is, it's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit our website at don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
The Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5
on AM 540, KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Hundreds of flights are canceled or delayed by the big winter storm that's making its way from the Midwest to New England. At O'Hare Airport in Chicago, spokeswoman Wendy Abrams says it's not really the snow.
It's more an issue regarding atmospheric conditions, and by that I mean high winds and very low visibility that require an increase in spacing in between aircraft.
Blizzard conditions have made driving dangerous, and CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers in Chicago says the harsh weather has prompted some extraordinary measures.
If you want to get an idea of how bad this storm is by Midwestern standards, for the first time since 1979, the University of Illinois at Champaign closed its doors and declared a snow day. It's that unusual, this kind of weather, even though you may think that we're used to it here.
Heavy snow and in some cases heavy icing is in the forecast for the east tonight and tomorrow. The same massive storm system spawned the tornado that killed a woman and ravaged neighborhoods in New Orleans that were just starting to recover from Hurricane Katrina. While the U.S. troop surge is debated in Washington, CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports one prominent Iraqi troublemaker is taking it seriously.
Muqtada al-Sadr, leader of a well-armed militia, influential head of an entire Baghdad neighborhood called Sadr City, has left Iraq. That, according to U.S. government officials, telling CBS News it's been observed that Sadr, who is 33, has quietly traveled to Iran.
Today, the House took up the Democrats' Iraq resolution. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that.
It's the most extended Iraq debate since the war began and goes far beyond the simple language of the resolution opposing President Bush's plan to send more troops to Iraq. The resolution also says Congress supports the troops. Republican David Dreyer says that's not right.
You cannot claim to support our troops without supporting their mission.
Of course you can, says Massachusetts Democrat James McGovern.
The best way to support our troops is to bring them home safely to their families.
Every member of Congress is getting 5 minutes in the debate, which will wrap up on Friday. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Authorities in Salt Lake City say the teenage gunman who opened fire in a mall last night wanted to kill a large number of people. Police Chief Chris Burbank says he'd already taken 5 lives when an off-duty officer from Ogden, Utah, shot him down.
Going in and engaging a suspect who was well-armed and prepared to engage him
without having the benefits of a uniform, extra equipment, or magazines for his firearm is truly heroic.
Officer Ken Hammond was at the mall having an early Valentine's dinner with his wife. Today on Wall Street, the Dow Industrials jumped 102 points to close at 12,654, the Nasdaq 9 points higher at 2,459, and the price of oil rose a dollar and a quarter to $59 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Appearing on DVD and Blu-ray disc, The Prestige, from the director of Batman Begins.
I work at that, bro.
It was the greatest magic trick I've ever seen.
Hugh Jackman.
I need to know how he does it.
Christian Bale.
You want the truth?
Michael Caine.
He has no trick. It's real.
Scarlett Johansson.
No more secrets.
Secrets of my life.
Rolling Stone says you want to see it again the second it's over. The Prestige. Own it on DVD and Blu-ray disc Tuesday, February 20th. Rated PG-13 for violence and disturbing images.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One-Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Vehicles are getting better at protecting their occupants, but as CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports, the latest government crash test ratings show you have to shop carefully for safety.
Of those vehicles just rated, 7 four-door sedans got 5 stars, the best rating in front and side crashes, and 17 four-door SUVs got high marks for protecting all seating positions. Rollover ratings were another matter. Only 3 vehicles got 5 stars for rollover resistance, the Mazda 6 four-door and Pontiac Solstice and Saturn Sky convertibles, yet none of those models also got 5s for protecting all occupants in front and side crashes.
They'll be holding their noses in Westport, California. The carcass of a 60-foot fin whale, estimated to weigh 10 tons, has washed ashore near that village. A marine biologist says the whale had been dead for weeks, cause unknown. A local group would like to preserve the skeleton, but to do that, they'll have to bury the whale and let it decompose. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? It doesn't have to. The answer is Honda Certified Used Cars. They're well-maintained late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda Certified Used Cars. It may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Now, you have a very unique accounting system for your boutique.
Yep, I designed my own spreadsheet.
Wow, looks complicated.
That's why I have a cheat sheet for my spreadsheet.
That is one big cheat sheet.
That's just the index.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business.
Really?
Yeah, QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
I'm switching.
Great.
Can you help me fold this back up?
I doubt it. QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at Staples, Office Depot, or Sam's Club.
And we launch the third hour of the Peter B. Collins Show right now. I'm your humble host, Peter B., and my lines are open to hear from you. No guests or other distractions this hour. It's wall-to-wall phone calls from Peter B. Collins Show listeners. So if you're tuned in Coos Bay, Oregon, in Eureka, in Monterey, or in Phoenix, I welcome your calls and comments, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And maybe you're listening online somewhere across this great country. Feel free to join the chorus here, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372 or 1-888-5-PETER-B. Go ahead and program it into that fancy phone of yours, and then you won't have to worry about the number next time. You may want to comment on Mike Gravel, the senator, former senator from Alaska, who's running for president on the Democratic side. He was outspoken in the first hour of our show today, talking about the way that he confronted the Nixon administration back in 1971 over the war in Vietnam, and looking for similar courage from our elected leaders today. Also, we spoke with Milan Rai in London, who took apart the allegations that were leveled at a bizarre news conference in Baghdad, where anonymous American officials who would not speak on camera or allow their purported evidence to be shown on camera allege that they have evidence that Iran is feeding the Shia insurgency in Iraq. Now, on one level, that doesn't come as a surprise to me, but the way it's being played and the way the so-called evidence is being hyped does worry us. And as we spoke with Ray McGovern, we understand that a third carrier group has been deployed or is about to be deployed to the Persian Gulf area. And despite the denials of the President Bush himself, many of us simply don't believe that we don't harbor very, very serious intentions of a military nature against Iran. Lead editorial in today's New York Times. Before things get any more out of hand, President Bush needs to make his intentions toward Iran clear. And Congress needs to make it clear that this time it will neither be tricked nor bullied into supporting another disastrous war. How little this administration has learned from its failures is a constant source of amazement. It seems the bigger the failure, the less it learns. Consider last weekend's super-secret briefing in Baghdad by a group of American military officials whose names could not be revealed to the voters who are paying for this war with their taxes and their children's blood. The briefers tried to prove that the White House's case that Iran is shipping deadly weapons, including armor-piercing explosives, to Shiite militias in Iraq. Unlike Colin Powell's infamous pre-war presentation on Iraq at the UN, this briefing had actual weapons to look at, and perhaps in time, the administration will be able to prove conclusively that the weapons came from arms factories in Iran. But the officials offered no evidence to support their charge that the highest levels of the Iranian government had authorized smuggling these weapons into Iraq to use against American forces. Nor could they adequately explain why they had been sitting on this urgent evidence since 2004. The only thing that was not surprising was the refusal of any of the briefers to allow their names to be published. Mr. Powell is probably wondering why he didn't insist on the same deal. Love to hear your comments on that. 888-5, Peter B. is a toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And I realized that yesterday at this time, I played a clip from the reprehensible Glenn Beck, who has a national radio talk show. He's a right-winger. He has been hired by CNN Headline News, where he does a bizarre half-hour show every evening. And now he's been added as a commentator to ABC's Good Morning America. I'll comment on this after you hear it. This is a bizarre exchange between him and another conservative talk show host, a radio guy named Dom Giordano. And I guess we could headline this, Who Mo White?
Oh, the general ones, you can't bring up. One guy sent me a very interesting thing about Barack Obama and race. You can't bring up anything other than that suddenly he's African-American. If you start to, you know, delve around the edges of, wait a minute, isn't he mixed race? Weren't we told that last year? Whatever, biracial? Not allowed to say that anymore. Apparently, the mainstream media has dubbed him to be African-American.
Yeah, I was driving in today, and I was seeing, because I saw this piece with him on 60 Minutes, and I thought to myself, he's very white. In many ways.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, gee, can I even say that? Can I even say that without somebody else starting a campaign saying, what does he mean he's very white?
Well, Glenn, I defend your right to say it, and I deplore your choice to do so.
He is. He's very white.
Well, the interesting thing is, too, whatever you and I seem to say, we're wrong. The other side determines it to be the opposite. So if next week we say that, they'll say...
That's because you're white, guys. You are very, very white. And I guess you think that because you're on the right and you're white, that white makes right. Sorry.
They know it's changed to this.
Yeah. All right, Dom, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, thanks, Glenn.
Appreciate it.
But that's not all.
Ask me. Ask me.
Now he's talking to his producer.
I mean, I think it's a legitimate question.
You're going to start campaigning now?
No, I don't. I mean...
He is...
What do you mean?
He's colorless. Ah. He is colorless.
Now we move from calling him white, very, very white, to colorless. And I don't know about you, but I find this very offensive. It makes my white skin crawl. To hear these bozos sound off about Barack Obama and raise questions about his ethnicity and essentially whether he is sufficiently black or he is too white in their view. And while I consider this a legitimate area of discussion for African Americans, and again, while I defend Glenn Beck's First Amendment right to say what he said, I deplore that he chose to say it. And I'm embarrassed for Caucasian Americans who some will view as represented by none other than Glenn Beck. 888-5 Peter B., your calls and comments. Welcome here on the PBC Free Speech Zone. Up first, it's Leonard in Glendale. Hi, Leonard.
Hey, sir. Good to hear you. And all I can say is I've got another reason now not to watch ABC's Good Morning America, because personally, I like to keep an open mind, but I don't need closed-minded people like that weirdo they put on there.
Well, if, so and also avoid CNN headline news, too, because you turn it on to get some headlines and you get Glenn Beck or you get these awful, you know, crime investigation shows. And the only way they'll stop doing it is if we refuse to watch it.
That's right, and we've got Nova M Radio now, and we've got Progressive Radio, we've got the Internet, and they're going to try to choke that off, but you know what? They're not going to do it, thanks to people like you and all those activists listening out there. We'll retake our country. But I just want to call up and say, believe it or not, in the Arizona Republic today, due to the fact that they gave notice, I found out some Republicans down here in our state legislature are, again, putting up a frontal assault or a sneaky side assault, if you will, on the, I don't want to sound like Dick Cheney by saying if you will, but on the initiative process here in Arizona, a Western tradition. People in the eastern part of our country might think of it as a little bit too much like mob rule, but here in the West, it's a tradition that we've had. When we get scoundrels in office and things that they're passing, we want to do something about it, we can get enough signatures to put it on the ballot. Well, right. They today had a hearing on several varieties. They want to make it so that the Voter Protection Act we passed in 1998 to stop these politicians from tampering with our initiatives, they want to tamper with that. And believe it or not, they trotted out Karen Osborne, the Maricopa County elections director, to say how great a thing it was that they're trying to enact these changes. So I was able to attend. I got up and spoke, and I don't think they expected me to say what I did, but I basically said they were full of it and that this, you know, they're going against, basically, they're just trying to put up a lot of hurdles. They're going against the voices of people in Arizona who, when we can't get things done through the legislature, they're basically trying to thwart us from
now,
doing that.
And now, it's just Leonard, another,
and it was two weirdos from Mesa, you know, right-wingers, and they're not even conservative now. These mm-hmm. people are, there were so many lobbyists in the room, Peter, you couldn't have believed it. You know,
now Leonard, will this in any way interfere with your effort to recall John McCain?
Now, this is strange. You know, I was starting to think about it, because what they want to do is they want to make it so that if one of their things they're trying to push is you can't assist somebody to sign a petition. Now, you know, a husband or a wife, you know, is allowed to do that if the person's disabled. I think it could affect it, and yeah, it does concern me, yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they pulled that. I'm on my way right now to a meeting, and I'm hoping the Attorney General will be there. I'm not sure if he'll sign my petitions, but hey, what the heck? You know, he's in the same room, which I expect him to be, Mr. Goddard. Maybe he'll consider signing Senator John McCain's recall petition. What do you think, Peter? Any chance of that?
You tell me.
Well, anyways, I'm going to let you go. I just want to let you know that these Republicans down here in Arizona who think they're going to thwart our initiative process, they got another one coming. They've already lost seats in the last election, and hopefully the Democrats and independents will retake the majority in our state legislature and finally put some logic and coherency back in this state.
All
thanks
right.
a lot there,
Leonard.
Peter. You have a good evening and
all right.
keep up the fight.
Thanks for your activism, and you keep fighting. And, Leonard, stay tuned after the next break. I'll play a commercial for you about Proposition Zero, which was inspired by the initiative process here in California. So that'll be coming up shortly. More of your calls next in the Free Speech Zone, 888-5. Peter B. puts you through. That's 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Well, a couple of cows made it to the other side of the fence in Gilroy. This is Day Road and Watsonville Road. Up to three cows have been spotted just taking a stroll down the roadway there. In Aptos, got a vehicle stalled in your way. Spreckles Drive at Forest Drive is a vehicle stuck in the roadway. Not quite sure of the lane info just yet, so CHP is en route to check up on that. And Watsonville, San Juan Road at Murphy Crossing Road. The railroad crossing arms are going to be actually in the down position starting at 5:30 for about 45 minutes. That's going to slow you down until 6:15 tonight. This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Departments. Through March, a visit to your local participating Toyota Service Center could win you two tickets to the Toyota Save Mart 350. No purchase necessary. See dealer for official rules. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We're in the free speech zone here at the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines available if you'd like to exercise your free speech rights. For some people, it's all the exercise you're going to get today. 888-5-PETER-B, toll free. 888-573-8372 puts you through. And our North Bay pal, Tom Seaborn, flashed from Eureka. Tonight, PBS is airing the first of a four-part series from Frontline called News War, about the news media and the coverage of the war, I presume. It starts tonight at 9 p.m. and in the Eureka-Humboldt County area. It's sponsored by KGOE. We'll get back to your calls here in just a second, but I promised our friend Leonard in Arizona, who is an activist working on some citizen initiatives, including one to recall John McCain, that I would play for him this little spoof piece that I put together after a particularly bad round of initiatives here in California.
The following is paid propaganda from the committee to vote yes on no, with major funding from whining fat cats, trust fund yuppies, and PR firms with very flexible ethics. If you're like me, you're tired of being blasted on the radio and the TV with heavy-handed, one-sided political commercials. Our committee is sponsoring a write-in ballot proposition for this November's election that'll let you say no to agitprop from big oil, big booze, big business, and big mouth political consultants. It's Proposition Zero, the proposition to end all future propositions. When you go into the voting booth, just write in Proposition Zero. Then vote yes on the no proposition proposition. Your yes vote will say no to the tactics of distortion, lies, innuendo, and personal attack. Your yes vote means no more tricky counter-propositions from the industries threatened by other propositions on the same ballot. Your yes vote means no more fees to corporate law firms trying to rewrite the laws to suit their deep-pocket clients. And your yes vote means no more insulting radio and TV ads with bad dialogue. If you're the kind of voter who answers no opinion when the pollsters call, Proposition Zero will fully protect your constitutional right to have no opinion and keep it to yourself. So forget everything else you've heard and just say no to it all. Vote yes on Proposition Zero.
All right, to your calls we go. Stephen Phoenix, you're next here. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Hey, Peter.
Hi, Steve.
I love Melanie Sloan because she actually had the guts to say that Harry Reid should be removed from office for his crooked land deal. So kudos to her.
Well, I like Melanie Sloan, too. She's been upfront on cases of corruption involving people of both political parties.
Yes. My call is about the Scooter Libby trial.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand something. After all, everything that we know, all of these people who divulged Valerie Plame's name, and nobody was ever charged with it. So what was, I mean, it's obvious that there was no crime in disclosing her name. So,
no, it's not obvious that there was no crime. What is clear is that the prosecutor didn't feel that he could win a conviction on that angle, at least not so far. It's possible that he is trying to convict Libby in order to get other testimony on the record, and it could lead to further indictments and prosecutions.
Can I ask you this, though? Okay, but he knows that Libby divulged the name. He knows that Armitage divulged the name. He knows that they did it. And they weren't doing it to punish anybody. They were doing it to put in context the fact that it was unknown that she was his husband. Like, for example, let's say you were talking about a political candidate and you didn't divulge that your wife was an operative for that political camp. If I called up a reporter and I said, you know, Peter B.'s wife works for her, that's why he's talking about this other candidate. That's the same context that this was. If they wanted to leak her name, all they had to do was leak it to the Drudge Report or something like that. That wasn't the purpose of them getting her name out.
They leaked it to Bob Novak. First of all, Steve, right. I can't agree with the benign spin that you're putting on both the motivations and the actions of this team at the White House. They did set out to smear Joe Wilson.
How is it a smear to say that his wife works for the CIA?
Well, they were trying to make him look pussy-whipped. You familiar with that term?
I know a lot of Democrats who fall in that category. But what I'm saying is that they were it was background, it was context. If they wanted to just get her name out there, there's a lot of places that will disseminate it a lot faster than Bob Novak would. I mean, they could leak it to Drudge, they could leak it to the Free Republic, they could. So that wasn't the purpose, and that's why there's no indictments on it, because it wasn't a crime.
I don't agree that it wasn't their purpose.
Well, why hasn't Fitzgerald indicted anybody? He knows who did it.
I think he is trying to build the chain because, you know, they did a pretty good job of deflecting and building in these walls. The biggest wall they hoped would hold was that no journalist would ever be called to testify. And the cover story that Libby floated and then hung on to when he got before the grand jury was clearly false. That he, you know, he claims that he learned it from reporters. Well, that was a way to deflect the source of this leak and try to protect the vice president. And Steve, you can look at it any way you like, and I appreciate, you know, your contrary contributions to our program.
Actually, but one other thing real quick.
But I think what is revealed here is just how conscious Dick Cheney was of trying to neutralize a critic of the administration.
Hey, he's on heart medication. Come on. But let me just say one other thing real quick to Leonard here in Phoenix.
Yeah.
I hear him all day calling. He calls like four or five programs, and he also complains that he can't afford health insurance. I'll give him a part-time job, and he could spend maybe half his less time on hold and go to work and quit complaining he doesn't have money to pay for health insurance.
All right, leave your name and information, and I'll put Leonard in touch with you. Thanks, Steve. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The day.
Step Talk Uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12 Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
It's tax time again. And there's one progressive tax preparer in the Monterey Bay area who specializes in tax returns for W-2 and self-employed working people. Jim Moore Income Tax specializes in preparing tax returns that maximize your refund as soon as you need it. In 24 hours, 2 weeks, or 3 weeks, the choice is yours. The personnel at Jim Moore Income Tax have been helping the hardworking Spanish-speaking residents of the Central Coast with immigration and tax preparation services for more than 30 years. You can get your tax return professionally prepared and electronically filed by bilingual tax professionals at a very reasonable fee. Need your tax return tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today. Located at 30 Alexander Street in downtown Watsonville, just 2 blocks from the Central Plaza. Be sure to take a copy of your 2005 federal and California returns and W-2 1099 info for 2006. Need your tax refund tomorrow? Visit the office of Jim Moore Income Tax today at 30 Alexander Street, downtown Watsonville.
Hey everybody, this is Larry from Acme Coffee Roasting Company in Seaside, and I want to know if you're tired of wading through hacky sackers and laptop zombies just to receive a mediocre cup of joe by some underwhelmed employee somewhere. Well, you come on down to Acme Coffee Roasting Company. Meet the local hardworking folks all around you. We roast the coffee every day. We're owner-operated and totally qualified. Why don't you come on down and see how we turned a little alleyway in Seaside, California into a place to grab a good cup of joe. At the corner of Broadway and Contra Costa, come on down, my friends. Just drink it. Resist corporate coffee.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah.
open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery
in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues live from San Francisco. This program is produced by Matt Renner. And if you have a complaint or a criticism, or in the positive vein, if you have a subject, a guest that you think we should feature on this program, drop an email to Matt at peterbcollins.com. That's Matt at pbc.com. And we'll be happy to hear from you. More of your calls straight ahead. Just a couple of news items. Jason Leopold will join us, we think, tomorrow on the program. He was unable to be here today because he wrote an article about an issue related to the Secretary of Energy, Samuel Bodman. And he also is on deadline because developments in the Libby trial. It was announced by the defense today that Scooter Libby himself will not take the stand and that Dick Cheney will not be called to testify on his behalf. I think the prospect of that cross-examination scared the bejesus out of him. And it suggests to me that they don't expect to win this case. They're going to rely on a presidential pardon to ease the future for Scooter Libby. That's just speculation on my part, but that's what I think. And before we go back to your calls, I want to identify a great American. Don't know him, never met him. Read about him for the first time in the newspaper today, and it is a profile in courage, in my opinion. Have you ever been to Los Alamos, New Mexico? It is a beautiful area, marred by the site of the Los Alamos National Laboratory, where many of our nuclear weapons have been developed, tested, and manufactured. And one of the weapons designers there is Joseph Martz, M-A-R-T-Z. He's the leader of a team designing a new generation of warheads at Los Alamos. And I want to stress that the comments you're about to hear were made by a private citizen, Joseph Martz, not in his role as a weapon designer at Los Alamos. He said in a series of interviews beginning last week that he is troubled by how the debate on nuclear weapons policy in Washington is focused narrowly on the number of weapons needed for the future, how they would be built, rather than on how to eradicate them entirely. Lab officials originally refused to give Martz permission to be interviewed, and he decided to speak out anyway. And I commend him for his courage. His aim is to help policymakers understand that because of a more sophisticated grasp of weapons science, the United States can slowly dismantle its warheads and still protect itself. The country could also bolster its credibility as a leading voice for disarmament by ratifying the long-stalled treaty banning underground testing. And think what a message it would send to Iran. If the United States started to roll back its commitment to nuclear weapons and even embark on a program to eliminate them entirely, it would give us the moral high ground that we currently lack to lecture Iran or North Korea on their desire to possess a nuclear weapon and join the club that we claim is exclusive and has room for no more new members. And I invite you to read this article if you log on to the San Francisco Chronicle's website at sfgate.com. You can find out more for yourself. And I think he is one courageous guy who deserves wider circulation for his comments. So, Matt, I'm lost on the list here. Where should I go next? I'm sorry. All right, we're going to go to Barbara in Cave Creek, and if we're not taking the calls directly in order, it's our fault, but you can blame me. Barbara, welcome to the show today. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Well, I just wanted to reiterate that Scooter Libby is being, he's under indictment for obstruction of justice.
That's right, perjury and obstruction of justice.
And I mean, you have to go back to the Nixon days when the reason how they got Tricky Dick was because it was the cover-up that they got him on, not just the fact that they were, you know, stealing money and doing all these other things. It was the fact that they were aware, that he was aware of it and they were aware of the cover-up.
Right.
And that's, you know, it's kind of what's behind it. But
well, what Steve was offering us is a Republican talking point. I've heard it come out of Rush's mouth. I've heard it all over the place. And that is that this whole trial is useless and bogus because there is no underlying crime that they covered up. And that's not the case. It's very clear that Valerie Plame Wilson was in covert status at the CIA.
Right.
And that for political reasons her identity was disclosed, and that is in direct violation of a law that was passed at the behest of George Bush the Senior.
Right. It's a treason. I mean, and again, my theory is that why did they do it? Because they figured that this particular group would be able to find out all the dirty dealings that they were up to. Dubai is still in charge of our ports. Nobody's fixed that. And the other thing that came out last week when I was theorizing that the weapons that the Sunnis were getting were from Saudi Arabia, but in fact it's in the Baker report that the Sunnis are getting their weapons from Saudi Arabia. But now the Sunnis are not in power. It's the Shiites who are our allies. And we're getting attacked, our kids are getting attacked by our arms from the Saudi Arabians, and so the Sunnis and the Shiites are attacking us. So it seems like to me that this Bush administration with Cheney seem to be working for the Saudis or whoever they're working for, who have taken over the country, and they are dismantling our economy, and they're dismantling our army, and they don't care how many of us die or how badly injured we have it or how much money we don't have to support a military action. And they're bringing all of our ships into the Middle East. It's like Custer's Last Stand. I mean, they're bringing our ships in the middle of an area where they can't get out in time if they start getting attacked.
Well, and that could create the new Pearl Harbor envisioned in the project for a new American century.
It's worse than Pearl Harbor because it's not close enough to our shores to call it a Pearl Harbor, and we can't get out. And it would be the destruction of our Navy as well as the destruction of our Air Force and Army. Who are they working for?
All right, Barbara, I thank you for your call. I will say that I do believe that the Dubai company that took over the deal from the British to manage the port operations. I think last August there was a transaction that transferred that to an American company, but I'll look it up and see if I can get solid info on that, okay?
Great.
All right, thank you very much. Larry and Aptos, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for your call.
Yeah, hi, this is Larry, and I just wanted to, if Steve is still listening, I got to wonder if he's ever heard of Brewster Jennings, the dummy front company that Valerie Plame worked in, that was supposed to sell oil, but they didn't sell oil. They were working on the proliferation of weapons, especially weapons of mass destruction. That cover was blown when her name got leaked. We don't know if people got killed, if CIA operatives or CIA agents got killed. Boy, that's so patriotic of Karl Rove and everybody else in that lot who thought it would be better to just blow her name, and who knows how many people got killed. I heard Ray McGovern on Amy Goodman 3 years ago when the story first broke. He was livid about what happened then. But Steve, you know, if he probably listens to O'Reilly and Rush Limbaugh, so we have to forgive him for not knowing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? The other remark he made about being pussy wept, I'm willing to meet that guy anytime, any place, anywhere, face to face, and we could discuss these issues and find out who's pussy wept.
All right.
Wait, one more thing. Hey, yeah, I saw the movie Who Killed the Electric Car this past weekend.
Uh-huh.
I rented it, and that's another thing that just got my blood up. To see those EV1s getting crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everybody should see that movie, man. That's a big wake-up call right there.
Yeah. All right, Larry, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call. Now to Rick and Eureka. Thanks for holding. You're next.
Hey, Peter, how are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Actually, every one of you callers I've listened to so far while I was waiting, they're right on the money. But what I want to talk about is our impending invasion of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to qualify it first by saying I was a Republican for 28 years, a devout Republican. And shortly before the last election, I switched parties, Democrats, because I couldn't stomach my own party anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm seeing and what I'm not hearing is those six helicopters that were shot down here recently were shot down by Sunnis in the Anbar province. Well, there's evidence that links Saudi Arabia to providing the weapons to the Sunnis, whereas they're claiming Iran's providing weapons to the Shiites.
Shiites, yeah.
But when you look at it, you know, they're right now they're saying everything that they had said prior to the invasion of Iraq, with the same lines, just different dates. And I'm looking at this, and I'm worried about it because we will invade Iran. I truly believe this. And Bush does not need the authority from Congress because he got it in the resolution by claiming that they're going to work in the region.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives him the authority to go basically anywhere he wants.
I don't know anybody besides Bush and a few cronies who believe that.
Well, they're going to go with it.
I've explicitly asked a number of members of Congress, and nobody believes that anything that has been passed to date would authorize military action against Iran, absent, some direct provocation that produces an emergency response.
That may be true. However, you got to look at it through Bush's eyes. He doesn't care. Congress is a roadblock to him. And I think he skirts Congress on many issues, and I think he's going to skirt it on this. I don't believe he's going to sit there and get the permission from Congress to do this, because he already has it.
I agree. He will assert that he has it and deal with it later. That has been his practice. But I believe that it is incumbent on our Congress to stop this man before he bombs again.
I agree.
And I hope that they will summon the courage. And that's why I invited Ray McGovern on today, and I direct you to commondreams.org, where two of his recent essays are posted. And he really goes, straight for Jay Rockefeller's chin. And says, you know, you've got to take action. You have to make you have to stop this and not just tell us that you were hoodwinked again.
Well, you know, if you look at it that way, that may be true. But he's going to act anyway. I don't feel our military's up to an invasion of Iran, and I don't think he cares. Whatever, if he's looking at it saying or thinking that he has the authority to do this, he's going to do it, and the legal problems will be dealt with later. But by then, we will have invaded Iran, and we're in the situation again.
Mm-hmm.
And as
McGovern put it, we will unleash the dogs of war, and these are dogs who haven't been to obedience training.
Exactly. That's why they're called chicken hawks. I was in the military. None of these guys ever were. And when we invade, I mean, we got three carrier groups in the Persian, two now and one on the way. And, I mean, realistically, with Iran being three times the size of Iraq, if we did start shooting, we're going to provoke them. It's what we're going to do. We're going to make where they hit us first through provocation, and then we're going to go, look what they did.
Well, and their response will be in Iraq and elsewhere, and it won't just be a few of these shaped charges. It will be, I think, much more robust than that. Rick, I'm glad to have a former Republican listening. Call me again, will you?
I will.
All right, thank
Bye-bye.
You. We're going to take a break and return for more of your calls in the free speed zone. We just freed up a line at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Our website at peterbcollins.com gives you links to the live stream if you're outside the range of one of our radio stations, and it also gives you links to our archive programs where you can catch up with things you've missed or hear them again. That's peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Good evening. It's your final look at Central Coast traffic. We have a solo vehicle accident in Morgan Hill. This is southbound 101 just before Cochran Road. Vehicle spun out, hit the center divide. Looks like a tow truck, CHP, both on scene. We're going to clear that out. Still reports of a few cows walking around on the roadway in Gilroy. It's Day Road at Watsonville Road. Up to three cows just taking a stroll in the lanes. And I got a stall slowing down in Aptos. Speckles Drive at Forest Drive. This is a vehicle stuck in the roadway. Tow truck on scene. Working to clear that out as well. Watsonville, San Juan Road at Murphy Crossing Road. The crossing railroad arms are going to be in the down position for about a half hour more. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants, so where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
The Peter B. Collins Show.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much. Does that make me crazy?
We continue in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. One line available if you want to try it. 888-5 Peter B. That's toll free 888-573-8372. And a while back, while I was talking with Steve from Phoenix, I used a certain phrase about why they were trying to undermine Joe Wilson by saying his wife sent him on a junket to Africa, and perhaps it was a poor choice of off-color language.
Excuse me.
Howard joins us next. Hello, Howard. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show from Carmel.
Thanks for having me, Peter B.
Thanks for calling.
I've got a question about that pastor who is flying his stunt plane into the church. The question is, this guy is obviously, guilty of criminal self-inurement. But besides that, nonprofit organizations are not supposed to engage in political activity. Isn't that correct?
Well, this doesn't appear to be political.
Not explicitly,
but yes,
not this one. But haven't most of the churches, most of the conservative neocon churches in the country? Been heavily involved in political activity?
Yes, with winks and nods. Many of them manage to skirt the law.
I run a nonprofit organization, and if I engaged in political activity, I'd lose my nonprofit status. I think that the IRS is missing a big bet on tax revenue by not lifting the nonprofit status of all of these nonprofit organizations that engage so heavily in political activity.
Well, you make an excellent point, and Melanie referred to the selective prosecution of a liberal church in Pasadena that featured a sermon just before the election in 2004 where the preacher did not endorse a candidate or tell people how to vote, but was critical of the Bush administration. And they've been investigated and I believe exonerated, but we haven't seen a similar interest in policing either black churches that have embraced Republican and Democrats or some of the right-wing white evangelical religious entities that clearly have been promoting the agenda of the Bush administration on gay marriage and other issues that are hot button for the right.
But it's beyond that. They even urge people to go out and vote for a particular candidate, and that is strictly illegal.
You are correct.
And we're talking not just one church or two or five. We're talking dozens, hundreds, maybe even thousands of churches doing
that. Well, sadly, the history of the IRS is that they prosecute people who are on the other side of the current administration. And we've seen that pattern over the years. I'd love to see it change, but frankly, I don't expect it to right away. Thanks for your call, Howard.
Thank you, Peter Ray.
Nice to talk with you today. And up next, we go to line three. It's Theodora. Welcome, Theodora. You're on the PBC show.
Hey, Peter B. This is my first time calling in.
Well, thank you.
And I'd heard you yesterday mention that you hadn't seen Gnarls Barkley
right.
on the Grammys.
Uh-huh.
And you need to find it. I hope YouTube has it. I'm not sure if they do. But you know how they like to dress up in costumes?
Yeah.
Well, at the top of his lungs, CeeLo was singing I'm Crazy, dressed as a general.
Really?
Yes, and his piano player, the other half of the duo, was also dressed in a soldier's uniform and a general, and several of the band members had general caps on.
Uh-huh.
And at a certain point, you hear a chorus kick in, a background chorus.
Yeah.
And the curtain goes up, and in the background there's about 20 people singing, dressed in orange jumpsuits.
Oh, wow.
And he's singing at the top of his lungs that he's crazy. And I certainly hope you can find it because, to me, that was the most political moment
of
the show.
Theodora, thanks for bringing that to my attention, and I'll do some YouTube searching tonight, see
Good.
If I can find
thank
it.
Thank you for a wonderful show, always.
Okay, my pleasure.
Okay,
now
bye.
To Carrie in Phoenix. Hello, Carrie. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Carrie.
Oh, I was glad I got in this fast. That's pretty neat. What I want to talk about is, you know how drug dealers get all their assets confiscated when they get caught selling drugs?
Right.
Well, what about these people who ride us into war and profit from the war, like Cheney made 3,000% on his Halliburton stocks? Maybe we should confiscate all his assets.
Well, it's interesting because there is a rich history of prosecuting war profiteers. And in World War II, it's interesting because some relatives of the Bush family were implicated in both illegal deals with Nazi Germany and with profiteering in the course of contracting with the federal government. So I agree with you. I'd love to see a full and robust investigation and any prosecutions warranted as a result of that investigation.
Anyway, I don't think it's right that you do that to people when they first get arrested for a drug offense. But,
right. Well, the guy to watch is the cue ball, Henry Waxman. He's a congressman from Los Angeles and now chairs the Government Oversight Committee in the House. And I think he is going to be digging in as deeply as he can into the very issues that you raise, and I hope that it will lead to, number one, an end to the cronyism and the bad faith fraudulent dealing, and also to any warranted indictments and prosecutions of people who are responsible. And one place where you could start is go to the CREW website, citizensforethics.org, and take a look at the 25 most corrupt officials in the Bush administration. That'll give you some food for thought. Thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it. Now to Chris in Phoenix. You're on the air at the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Thanks for the work you do. You guys do a great job at a rational voice in this chaos we have going on here.
Thank you.
I wanted to, I haven't heard much about this, but one thing that to me is striking, you know, with all these billions and billions of dollars, and I think we're approaching $1 trillion on these wars, couldn't we divert at least some of that money to a universal health care system? And, you know, these conservatives claim to be pro-life, but it seems that they're pro-death, in my opinion. You know, I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of our people, our own citizens, going without health care while we spend all these billions of dollars dropping bombs on these other countries.
Well, you know, you're thinking logically, and I commend you and also warn you that you got to be careful with that. but, you know, obviously our priorities are skewed, and it results in the title of Tom Hartman's book, Screwed. Middle-class Americans, working families have been screwed time and time again by this administration. And not only do we have 47 million people uninsured, but average working families in this country have had to endure a hidden tax increase because of the shift from employer-paid benefits to more and more premiums and the burden being shared by the workers. And I would like to see us reverse that trend. We need to work on it real hard. Thanks for your call today.
Thanks.
I wish I had more time. Another hour would be great. But we will reserve comment and recharge and be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same radio stations. Thanks for listening to the Peter B.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The shovels are out in Chicago, where they're trying to keep up with blowing snow. A massive winter storm produced blizzard conditions and a lot of misery, as CBS News correspondent Cynthia Bowers can attest.
I've lived in Chicago for 8 winters, and there have been some heavy snowfalls and some cold weather, but this is the most brutal wind I've felt in quite some time. People in this city are used to this kind of cold, but we're maybe not used to this kind of wind. 40 miles per hour coming on a day where you've had 6 inches of snow in the city, it's making for a real mess.
The storm has crippled air travel. WBBM Radio's Bob Roberts talked to stranded travelers at O'Hare.
After one cancellation, Laura Temple got her flight to Minneapolis.
I hope so, and first class.
Well, gee, now that's nice.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Not everyone is so lucky. By mid-afternoon, Chicago O'Hare had canceled 750 of its 2,700 daily flights, another 250 at Chicago Midway. Although runways are being kept clear, the high winds, snow blowing sideways, and resulting low visibility create delays as flights are spread farther apart. Bob Roberts, CBS News, Chicago.
The storm extends all the way to the East Coast. Interior New England could get up to 2 feet of snow. The U.S. troop surge and the security crackdown in Baghdad have scared Muqtada al-Sadr away. CBS News has learned that several weeks ago, the anti-American Shiite cleric fled Baghdad for Iran. CBS News congressional correspondent Cheryl Atkinson was on Capitol Hill today as the House opened debate on the Democrats' Iraq war resolution.
The American people have lost faith in President Bush's course of action in Iraq, and they are demanding a new direction.
We have a duty to pursue nothing less than victory.
The resolution they're debating is just 97 words long and purely symbolic. Even as it disapproves of the president's troop increase, it also promises that Congress will continue to support and protect the troops.
Because
all 435 members get 5 minutes each to have their say, and the resolution will likely pass by Friday. The only real question is how many Republicans will vote for it.
Ken Hammond is being hailed as a hero. The off-duty police officer from Ogden, Utah, was at the Trolley Square Mall in Salt Lake City having dinner with his pregnant wife.